Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Megillah. We are on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Bet, that's 23b, and we are on the bottom section of the page. We're going to actually start from, actually right in the middle, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22 lines up from the bottom. This series of recordings is a joint project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We've been discussing in our Mishnah rituals that require a minyan, that require 10 men. And in the Mishnah, we have here, if you'll look on our line, you'll see that we have two diamond dots, which is quoting from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "The ein osin ma'amad u'moshav pachot me'asara," that you may not do standing and sitting with fewer than 10 men. The standing and sitting is the custom that when you are bearing the deceased to the grave, that we stop seven times. Nowadays, we also stop seven times. Briefly, we say Yoshev B'Seter Elyon, but usually it's just a very brief pause. What apparently they would do here in the funeral procession is everybody would stop and they would sit down and they would say something, and then everybody would stand up and they would proceed again a little more, and then they would stop and sit down again. So, and they had a sort of a chazen or a master of ceremonies who would lead this. So the Gemara says, since it was required for the chazan to say, imdu yikarim amodu, he would say, stand up, O honored people, stand up. And then he would say, shvu yikarim shvu, sit down, honored people, and sit down. So he made a big announcement that people should stand and sit at each of the stations. And as Rashi said, well, the Gemara says, but sir masarah, if there's fewer than 10, lav orach ara, it's not derech eretz, it doesn't make sense to make a whole announcement that people should stand and sit if there's not 10 people gathered there. You really only do that when you have a real congregation. Then the Gemara goes on to the next clause in the Mishnah, Ve'en omrim birchat avelim u'birchat chatanim, the blessing said to mourners and the blessing said at, so mourners is actually at the end of the funeral, because you become a mourner only when the body is interred. And Birchat Chatanim is the blessing of the bridegrooms at a wedding. My Birchat Avelim, what is the blessing of the mourners? Birchat Rechava, it's the blessing that is said in the town square. It was said in public. To Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Birchat Avelim ba'asara, Rabbi Yochanan said the blessing of the mourners is said with a minyan, with 10 men. Ve'ein avelim mina minyan, but the mourners are not part of the minyan, meaning you need to have 10 men aside from the mourners. And Rashi explains that there were separate blessings. So he says the chazan would say to the menachamim, to those who came to console the mourner, he would say, Achenu bal hagmul, Yishalem lachem gmulchem hatov. He would say, our brothers who are those who deserve reward, may Hashem pay you your good reward. In other words, for doing this mitzvah of burying the dead and comforting the mourners. And then he would conclude, Baruch Ata Hashem, Mishalem hagmul. Blessed are you Hashem who pays the reward. That's what the blessing that he would say to all the mourners. So in order to say that blessing, you had to have 10, not to the mourners, to the comforters. You had to have 10 comforters. And then to the mourners, he would say a separate blessing. He would say, Achenu bal nechamot, those who are our brothers, those who are in need of consolation, Yenachem etchem, may you be consoled. Blessed are you Hashem, Menachem Avilim, who is the comforter of mourners. So the mourners could not be counted in the minyan of comforters, because obviously they don't have that role, but because there was a separate blessing said to the comforters. However, Birkat Chatanim, continues the Gemara, the blessing of the bridegrooms, Ba'asara, is also done with 10, it's done with a minyan, V'chatanim in a minyan, but the chatan can be one of the 10, because the blessing that is said for the wedding encompasses everyone, both the celebrants and those who come to celebrate with the wedding party. Okay, then we continue on in the Mishnah. Ve'ein mezamnin al amazon b'shem pachot me'asara. You do not say Hashem's name in the benching, in the zimun at the beginning of the benching, unless you have a minyan. And this is a halacha l'maisa. We do this as well. So usually you say, Baruch she'achalnu mishalov tuvo chayinu. And if you have a minyan, you say, Baruch Elokeinu she'achalnu mishalov tuvach. You know, you add Hashem's name to it. Now, it doesn't mention it here, but it does say in Brachot on Daf Memtet that there are additional words that are added. If you have 100 people, then you say Baruch Hashem Elokeinu. If you have 1,000 people, you say Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Yoshev HaKruvim. There are different formulas that you say if you have, or that might be 10,000 people. I don't have the Mishnah in front of me right now, but there are different formulas. If you add people, the more people that you have, you add more honorifics of Hashem's name, but you may not add Hashem's name until you have 10. So the Gemara says, Kevan Debai Lememar Navarach Lelukenu, since you have to say blessed to our Shem Har God, and actually our Nusach is not to say Lelukenu, but just Elokenu, you take off the Lamed, but Sir Me'asara, fewer than 10, Lav Orach Ara, it is not proper to do it if you have fewer than 10. Now this word Orach Ara, interestingly, in the Aramaic, is the same word in Hebrew as Derech Eretz. So Orach, which means a passageway, is like Derech, like a way. And Ara, the Ayin, it gets in Aramaic, substitutes for a Tzadi. So Ara means the land, the way of the land. And if you, so the Aleph refers to the Hay of the, usually would be Ha'aretz. And the Ayin would change to a Tzadi. So Ara in Aramaic is Ha'aretz. In Hebrew, so Orach Ara is the same as Derech Eretz. It's not Derech Eretz unless you have 10. Finally, we go on to the last parts of the Mishnah. Ve'akarkaot tisha v'kohen. If you're going to redeem land, you need to have 9 Israelites and a Kohen. Ve'adam kayotze behen. And similar to doing it for an erachin for a man. Menane mile. What is the source for this? Amar Shmuel. Asara kohanim ktuvim b'parsha. 10 times the word kohen is written in the parsha. Now, this is in Vayikra chapter 27. In Vayikra chapter 27, it deals with a number of halachic aspects of redemption and of arachin. And in that chapter, if you look through it, you'll see that the word HaKohen is mentioned 10 times. And Rashi gives us a hint of what to look for. He explains that there it says HaKohen 3 times in the Parsha dealing with Arachin, which is making a donation to the Beit HaMikdash based on the sale value of a human being. Shlosha bibehema, and 3 related to the consecration of an animal, and 4 related to redeeming land. So you have 3, 4, and 4, and it adds up to a total of 10 times that these parshiot say the word HaKohen. So based on those 10 usages of the word HaKohen, we say that you have to have a minyan. However, it might sound from there like you need 10 kohanim. So the Gemara is going to explain that you don't need 10 kohanim, you only need 1. Chad legufei, you need 1 mention of the word HaKohen in order to say that you need a kohen. And then, so we're going to skip the next 2 words that are in parentheses that says v'chad lemiute. We'll skip those and go on. The idach and all the others, meaning the other 9 mentions of the word HaKohen, have a miut achar miut. They are what's called a miut after a miut. Now, this is how it works. The first HaKohen tells you that you need to have a Kohen. The second type it says HaKohen is actually a miut. It doesn't mean a Kohen. It is coming to be mimayit. It's coming to say that you don't need a Kohen. The ein miut achar miut ela l'rabot. And then no miut after miut. When you have a miut after a miut, it only comes to include it. Meaning, so the first mention of Kohen says you need a Kohen. The second one afterwards comes to say that you don't just need a Kohen, you can have an Israelite. And then it continues to mention HaKohen over and over again. And each time it mentions HaKohen, it's coming to be marbeh, the second one, which is not a Kohen. Okay, so in other words, even though it says HaKohen 10 times, we only learn 1 of them is actually for a Kohen, and all the others we learn are not. They're just with the Kohen. Tisha Yisraelim, there are 9 Israelites, V'chad Kohen, and 1 Kohen. Now the Gemara does have 1 problem with this, meaning perhaps it ought to go a different way. V'ema Chamisha Kohanim, V'chamisha Yisraelim. Maybe it should be 5 and 5. After all, what you do is, every time you'd first mention HaKohen, that would be to teach you a Kohen, and then the next one would be Lama'i, to teach you that it doesn't have to be a Kohen. Then you would have a Kohen, and then not a Kohen, a Kohen, and not a Kohen. So if you did it that way, you would say that you would require 5 Kohanim and 5 Yisraelim. And the Gemara concludes, Kasha, you're right, it's a difficulty. It's not clear from the derivation if it should be 9 Kohanim and 1 Israelite, or 5 Kohanim and 5 Israelites. Just going to stop to mention 1 other thing here related to deriving 10, because this is the second place that this is the third place that we've seen 10 men mentioned. We saw it mentioned related to the Meraglim, and then we applied it over to Korach. And here we have it mentioned with these 10 mentions of the word HaKohen. There is one other place mentioned in the Yerushalmi that some people quote where we can learn the derivation of 10, and that is when Yosef's brothers come to get food, right when they first encounter Yosef as the vizier of Egypt. So they come in and they stand before Yosef and they say, "We are 10 brothers." And some people want to learn the idea of a minyan from Yosef's 10 brothers standing before him, trying to get food during the famine. What is interesting is that's the only example we have of a group of 10 for the good. The groups of Korach and of the Meraglim are not for the good, but the brothers, were righteous people. So although they were in need of tshuva, but they were righteous people, so they are a positive example of an edah. And the same thing is true of the kohen here, is a positive example of minyan. And for some reason, we tend to learn the concept of edah in a negative context, not in a positive context. Okay, we're going to continue on and finish up our Gemara here. The Adam Kayotzi Bahen. The same thing is true with a man. Adam Mikadosh, but you cannot sanctify a man, or he's not holy, like you can't consecrate a person to the Beit HaMikdash. Amar Rabbi Abahu, Ba'omer Demei Alai. You can do it if you say, the amount that I could be sold for is upon me. In other words, it's not the person themselves that is being consecrated, but the value of the person. Ditanya, as it says in a Braita, Ha'omer Demei Alai, the one who says, my value is upon me, that meaning, in other words, I'm obligating myself to give tzedakah of my value to the Beit HaMikdash. Shamino Toke Eved. So then you assess him, you assess how much money that is based on whether he was being sold as a servant. The Eved itkash lekarkaot, and an Eved is connected to land. Oftentimes, some of the rules of sale for Avadim relate to the same rules of sale for karka, for land, even though the main thing about karka, about land, is that it's real estate, it's immovable, and an Eved is movable. But nonetheless, they are sometimes connected. It's a long, it's discussed a lot in Baba Batra. Dichtiv, as it is written, it's based on this verse, Vitnachaltem otam livnechem acharechem lareshet achuza. So the derivation of this is based on the end of the pasuk where it says le'olam bahem ta'avodu. So it connects ta'avodu with the nachala of land. Tosfos has a question about this, only because it seems like this should only apply to non-Jewish servants and not to Jewish servants, and he leaves it as a question, and we will leave it as a question as well. But that takes us down to the end of our Gemara. We are on the second line from the bottom on Chaf Gimel Amud Bet, and we'll continue from there in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.